Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store and Lowe's.com for details.
If you listen to the media sometimes, you get this idea that voters are just angry at everyone and they always want change. And it's about economics and eggs and everybody's tired of wokeness. What did they actually tell you?
Voters are way more nuanced than they get covered. And, you know, a lot of these conversations were very nuanced. We took a group of pro-choice men who voted for Trump. And, you know, and so I think there was an assumption on our side of the aisle that, you know, that folks who were pro-choice would lean into that in their election. And what was fascinating is what we heard out of that group wasn't this idea that, like, that they were angry at Democrats for standing up for the rights of, say, trans people. It was that that was all we cared about.
I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store, and welcome to Justice by Design. So here's a fact about me that you may not know, is that I am not, and I have not been for over 20 years, a member of any political party. I'm not registered as any party at all. But I also am very aware of the dangers of the autocracy that has taken over the current ruling political party in our country. And I recognize that it is coming from one side of the ideological spectrum. And so the key to overcoming that includes the other party being a functional, active player in the resistance to that. And so I'm often asked as well as part of my job when I appear on Meet the Press or some other television appearance where I am a political commentator, well, what should Democrats do? What's Democrats' problem? Do they have a problem with messaging? Are they out of touch? Are they this and they that? And often I'm not entirely sure what the Democrats are doing. And so when I reach that point, I turn to people who are smart, who can help explain that, not just for me as part of my job, but for me as a citizen to understand what the counter to the current autocratic turn our federal government has taken. And for, wow, nearly 20 years now, one of the smartest people I have turned to is my guest today on Justice by Design, Steve Shale, who is a Democratic strategist extraordinaire who I have turned to since, oh, the heady times of the mid-aughts and when things were all hopey and changey. So Steve, thank you for joining me today.
Kimberly, I'm excited about this. I was really appreciated the invitation. You said I'm not sure we've actually ever met in person, but I feel like we've been friends for 2 decades. And
yes,
gosh, those days feel very quaint, don't they? Compared to
they
now.
They really, really do. So Steve, before we get started in talking about the really interesting work that you're doing right now, I always ask my guests to introduce themselves to our listeners so they have a little bit of an idea of who you are and what you do.
Sure. I mean, I describe myself these days as a 3-decade survivor of politics. The vast majority of my career has been in Florida. I was, Chicago born White Sox fan. Very excited that we have a Pope as a fan now. It's a big thing for us White Sox fans. It's given us, and I'll note that I think we've won as many games as the Yankees since since the Pope became the White Sox, got a Pope as a fan. So clearly, God is weighing in, which is awesome.
It's divine intervention.
Exactly. I've lived in Florida for most of my life and I got into politics. I think as you once joked, I got into politics on accident I've spent most of my career trying to figure out how to get a real job, and I've now reached the stage where I just no longer qualify for anything that's real. So I do this for a living. I came up in, and I think that will inform part of this conversation. I came up running state house races in parts of Florida that are no longer competitive. I was a North Florida Democrat. We've been a part of helping elect one of the first Cuban Democrats. I was a part of electing one of the first African Americans to a non-African American majority district. A bunch of sort of old white Democrats in North Florida. Obviously, had the honor of a lifetime, I think, when you and I first really started talking, when I did President Obama's campaign in Florida in 2008 and worked on the reelection in 2012. Tried to get out of politics after 2012, and that lasted 3 days. And my old friend Bob Graham, the senator from Florida, called me and said his daughter's going to run for Congress. Can I do one more? And that led to doing, again, electing a Democrat in a district that today is not competitive. Was a +7 Republican seat in those days. Found myself getting ready to work for Joe Biden in 2016. Had he run, I think, he got a lot closer to running than history probably will remember. But was a big part of his 2020 election. Was not as involved in the 2024 reelection for reasons if you want to get into we can, but was certainly a big part of the 2020. And so, a lot of the work I've been trying to do of late, Kimberly, as we've talked about, is just trying to understand what's been happening to the Democratic coalition really since those Obama days. And, we've seen, I think there's a lot of focus on what happened in 2024. And again, I think we'll get into this in this conversation. My concern has been that the things we saw in 2024 have been happening really since Obama's second election. And
yes,
and that's the challenge, I think, as a party we've got to grapple with, and how we build, not necessarily build back a new old coalition, but how we build a new coalition of voters that can get us to 50% plus one.
And I like that that frame that you put it in, a new coalition of voters, because I think one of my frustrations with Democrats has often been, I feel like they want to go back. I mean, even though the rallying cry of 2024 was we're not going back, but I feel like what Democrats seem to be wanting is exactly that. And I don't think going back is an option anymore. I think we need to build for the future and keep building on that. It's like the job of building is never over, because the electorate changes, the world changes, our needs change, and we need to be responsive to the electorate. And that's why I was so, I've been so enthralled by your Substack, where you break down some of the work that you were doing, which is really focused on voters. It's focused on talking to voters in key states and counties about what they want from their government, how the government is or is not responsive to them, and what they really want from their leaders, which seems basic. It seems sort of like a no-brainer, but it is not done as consistently as it should be. And one of the reasons we became friends is because in the early aughts, when I was a political reporter, it was very clear that on the national stage, one of the places that you needed to look was, to quote Tim Russert, Florida, Florida, Florida. Sure. And I reached out to a lot of smart Democratic and Republican strategists down there. But in your most recent dispatch on Substack, you went to a place that I know dearly, being a native Michigander, is Macomb County. I know that place well. Why did you start there and talk about Macomb County and some of the other counties you are going to reach out to voters?
Yeah. So, Kimberly, as we talked before, I mean, I often joke, but it's true. Like, I barely graduated from college. And so, I'm not, I do not hold myself out as a smart policy guy or a big message guy. But I understand one thing about politics, which is if you don't get to 50% plus one, you can't win an election. And so, for me, politics and how we build a Democratic coalition is just a math question. What does the pie look like, and how do you put enough pieces in that pie to get to enough vote to win? And if you look at, the places, say, there's an argument, which is probably fair, that Obama 08 is not necessarily a great measure. There's a lot of things happening in the country. It was a change election. He won places that, the first time in 100 years, Indiana, places like that. But, Obama 2012 was a really interesting coalition that he put together of voters You know, and won basically every swing state there was, some by smaller margins than others. And then when you look forward from 2012 to 2024, there are 10 states that have been in play in those four elections. And of those 10 states, those 10 states, there's 750 counties in those 10 states. All but 60 of them have moved towards the Republican since 2012. The reason why we went to Macomb County is it is in the top five or six places and arguably the number one among counties that are swing counties in terms of that switch. So here's a county that went for Obama twice. The second time Obama won it by 4 or 5 points. It was, I think, 18 or 20,000 votes. Trump won it in 2016 by maybe 30 or 40,000 votes. Biden made it a little bit better in 2020, but still lost it. And then this time, you know, Trump won it by 70,000 votes. In fact, the difference between Obama's margin in 12 and the Trump margin in 2024 was in that county alone is larger than Trump won Michigan by. So in other words, wow. if Macomb County had just voted how it voted for Obama in 2012, Kamala Harris would have won Michigan. And so clearly you have a county that hasn't changed a lot in terms of its population. I mean, it's not demographically growing or losing population at a pace that's not normal for the times. Demographically is, you know, it's interesting. As you know, it's about 80% white, 75% white, pretty good African American population, growing Asian population, growing Hispanic population. It's not a microcosm of America, but it's not also just a sort of a lily white place or just an African American or Hispanic community. It's got some diversity to it. Economically, it's moving. It's economically growing at a slower pace than the rest of the country, both from a GDP, as well as income. And so clearly there are voters here that voted for Barack Obama twice and then voted for Donald Trump three times. And if we're going to understand what's happened to our coalition, even if we can't get all those voters back, we have to understand why. And so Macomb became sort of like a really good way to get our arms around. And we spent 2 days in the snow back in February. This is a lightweight hoodie. It's the warmest thing I own being a Florida man. This is all I had going to Macomb County. But we trudged through for 2 days and
you should have called me. I would have, you know,
my mother, raising a Kankakee, Illinois boy would have absolutely been mortified at her son, what he wore. and unfortunately too, as you live in a warm climate after a while, not only do you not own the clothing, but your body just isn't strong enough for it anymore. But
I can vouch for that.
Yeah. So we spent 2 days listening to voters and what they had to say and went in with very little. We went in with things we wanted to learn, but we went in with very few assumptions, if that makes sense.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Well, that seems to be really important because I think a lot of times, and I will count myself in this, we sort of fall onto old conventional wisdom that doesn't actually bear itself to be true on the ground. Or we get, as a reporter, you know, particularly in election years, you're talking to people in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, but you realize none of them is an exemplar for the whole country. And that's one reason why I think that whole approach is outdated as well. But what did you get? I mean, if you listen to the media sometimes, you get this idea that voters are just angry at everyone and they always want change. And it's about economics and eggs and everybody's tired of wokeness. What did they actually tell you?
Yeah, and Kimberly, that's a great point, because often, as we all know, you do this long enough, voters are way more nuanced than yes. they get covered. And, you know, a lot of these conversations were very nuanced. I mean, it was fascinating. So, for example, we took a group of men who were largely sort of pro-choice. So pro-choice men who voted for Trump. And, you know, and so I think there was an assumption on our side of the aisle that, you know, that folks who were pro-choice would lean into that in their election. And what was fascinating is what we heard out of that group, and we can talk about all four groups, but specifically I remember that in that group, wasn't this idea that, like, that they were angry at Democrats for standing up for the rights of, say, trans people. It was the sense that, or that we were pro-choice and fighting for that. It was that that was all we cared about. Mm. And that, you know, in the, you know, it was interesting. We'd see this in polling coming up in 2024. And I tried to, you know, wave a few red flags out there when I could, that, you know, on some of these issues that I think are very important to my party, our base, you know, that it would often rank, you know, even in Florida, for example, where we had an initiative on the ballot to protect Roe v. Wade, failed because it didn't get 60%. It got like 58% statewide. So over a majority of people voted for it in Florida. But when you would see it in polling, people would say that issue was fifth or sixth or seventh most important to them. That issues of economic security, inflation, healthcare, all of these things took on were just more important to them. And so their view wasn't necessarily, again, that we were wrong on these things. And that was, I think, the thing that was interesting, was like, you even more conservative groups up there, like, listen, yeah, I think that it's right to fight for the, you know, for the rights of marginalized people. You know, may disagree on things about like whether women, you know, trans women can play in sports or not, but like, nothing wrong with fighting for that. The perception, though, is that that's all we were fighting for. And that's where I think Trump was really able to kind of define, like, hey, like, you know, they're worried about that over there. I'm worried about your job. I'm worried about the cost of goods, right. You know, et cetera, et cetera. And that was the thing that rang really loud and clear in Macomb County coming out of it.
That's really interesting, because if you actually listen to what Democrats are saying in their messaging and their campaigning, they are not saying that that's all that they care about. They never have, but they have been effectively labeled as that this is all just about wokeness and open borders, which neither of which is true, but Republicans have done a great job of defining Democrats in a way that has resonated very clearly with voters. Can I ask you, I mean, because growing up in suburban Detroit, which Macomb County is a part of, I was very, you know, my dad was a union official, very aware political party, grew up during, you know, a time of Reagan Democrats, you know, people who are sort of like what you're describing, people who might be more socially conservative, but also believe in strong union jobs and you know, equal pay and uplifting the working class and not letting the elites at the time, like the Lee Iacocca's and the others, get all the riches while, you know, people who are working in the factories are pushed out of the American dream. So that I can see how that is an interesting place and continues to be an interesting place to look at voters, because it is far more nuanced than what we talk about normally on a national level. So what about that? What were they saying? You're saying you found that the GOP, you wrote, maintains an edge on economic and immigration issues. And you can see how Donald Trump capitalized on that in his messages. But they also said that they perceived Democrats to be more out of touch. What do you mean by that?
Again, I think a lot of that goes back to that, you know, so two things. First of all, I think the other thing about Macomb, which is interesting, and Kimberly, you know this, is increasingly people who live in communities like where I grew up, Kankakee, Illinois, are living in states that are now Sunbelt states, you know, whether it's either move to retire or their kids live there. And so I think there's also understanding that the politics of those places often has a direct line on the politics in other places. And so I think that's the other thing to keep in mind with a place like Macomb or a place like Scranton, Pennsylvania, that's seen a 30-point shift. These places are not unique just to them. They often have a direct line to someplace else. And again, I think the thing that kind of came out, and we saw it, so you know, this quantitative survey we did, we took kind of what we learned in Macomb and went and asked the voters in 21 counties These are 21 counties in these 10 swing states that we talked about earlier. That again, these are counties that sort of disproportionately have an impact on their state's election. So Miami-Dade in Florida, a county that Kamala Harris, the Hillary Clinton won by 28 points, 30 points, and Kamala Harris lost by 12. I mean, huge shift. You know, is again, I think, you know, the problem is when, you know, they, when we asked voters in this survey, sorry to ramble here, you know, kind of what is, you know, we gave them a list of like 30 words and said, tell us, like, what are the top two, three, four you think of when you think of each political party? And what was interesting was that the number one view of both political parties was the word corrupt. I mean, there's a definite like idea that like both parties have just people in Washington that have been there way too long, who are just got bought and sold by the system. And so that both, you know, both parties being corrupt. What was interesting was when you got into sort of the next sort of phase of words, I mean, out of touch sort of, you know, rung, woke was a word that came up when people think of Democrats. And, you know, Republicans weren't thought of a whole lot better. I mean, racist came up in the top five, bully came up in the top five. But where, what was fascinating is we asked voters what they wanted to see in their ideal political party. Like, what are the characteristics they want in a political party? And they wanted things like common sense, people that could actually get things done, people that were focused on the middle class. And the challenge is that despite the fact that voters dislike both political parties with in big numbers, when you went back and looked at, okay, common sense, you know, the term, the phrase common sense, like 25% of voters said Republicans, that was a word they would apply to them. It was like six when it came to Democrats. You know, fighting for change. It was like in the mid 20s for Republicans. It was like eight for Democrats. And, and that's fundamentally the challenge is like, it's not like they bought and sold what Republicans are selling. They, they just like us less than they like them. And the things that are important to them, they just see a little bit more of in their side. But for me, like the good news in that story is it's not like these are still voters that they don't like what's being sold in general. And I think that there's a real opportunity, in, particularly in 2028 with the nominee, of building kind of a new framework around how we get to some of these voters to have a conversation with them again. Because, again, the Republicans have not sealed the deal with them either.
Yeah. So how do you think what does that path potentially look like? How do – I mean, because it sounds in a lot of ways that these voters want their government to be – better at being more responsive. It's not a matter of the polarized choices that we're seeing here is that either you have this government that has acted the way that it always has before, which really hasn't pleased anyone, versus totally breaking it and firing all the federal employees and closing down agencies. They want something in the middle. What might, how can Democrats craft a vision of something that seems much more in line with what real voters want?
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I actually think that our nominee in 2028 is likely to be a governor is because I think that governors have an interesting way of being able to tell the story. Go back to Michigan and see how Whitmer's outperformed Harris, Andy Beshear, Josh Shapiro, folks who are very much seen electorally different than Democrats in their state. And I think that that's a function of that idea of like, these are governors who've shown that at some level, they can make government work to make things better. And, you know, you go back to the Biden administration and, you know, obviously, you know, I adore the boss and worked really hard to get him elected. You did not go to the White House, but I mean, I still think very highly of him as a person. One of the problems I think they had when Democrats be like, I don't understand why voters don't see all this stuff he's doing. Well, none of that stuff voters actually saw. I mean, we passed an infrastructure act. How many people saw roads start construction in their community? You know, there's all the story about the electric charging stations, all the money for that. And we built like, what, 23 of them and, you know, rural broadband. These are all things we talked about the fact that we did. But, you know, if you were a rural voter in, you know, in Orangeburg, South Carolina, who was counting on rural broadband, you probably didn't see your internet speed get any better. And so I think that, you know, compare that to say like Andy Beshear, you know, who, you know, in these floods was able to bring government down to people's communities and make people's lives better quickly. You know, that's a big problem. Voters just don't see, they see a lot of talk and they see a lot of talk from both sides. And I think those people that can actually show they've done it are going to be successful going forward.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Yeah, you know, I could not agree with you more. And that was one of the things that frustrates me about Democrats, honestly, because if you go back just a little while ago to Luigi, right, who became this cult hero for committing a horrific crime. Well, what actually happened? The Biden administration passed a regulation that prevented healthcare companies from basically gouging consumers over prices and capped some of the prices that could be charged. So the Biden administration was actually doing the things that the people who were so angry wanted, but we didn't see that solution. Well, now, of course, that if it's not already gone, it's going to be gone. But that was actual government at work. There was a regulation passed that made your healthcare more affordable. But who knows that? I knew that because I was researching something for a piece I was writing, and I realized that that had happened. It had taken effect, and it actually brought down healthcare costs for Americans. I would have been screaming that from the mountaintops if I was cared about healthcare policy and I was an elected official here in Washington. So what is it about Democrats that seem to, why are we not hearing, here is our, instead of just berating Donald Trump for all of his policies, why aren't we saying, look, this is what our immigration plan will look like. It's right here. It's ready. When y'all ready, come to us and we'll talk. This is what our economic plan would be, to actually give tax breaks to those in these for working class people, for people in that caught in that trap between like lower and middle class. This is what will help them, and let the billionaires pay. Here it is. Here's the plan. We're ready to implement it as soon as you give us the ability to do so. Why are they not doing that?
I don't know. I mean, you may have read. I mean, I was pretty frustrated during the debate over the One Big Beautiful Bill that we didn't offer some ideas to a missed opportunity. And like, you know, you go back, it's interesting. You know, we go back to Obama war. Like, we all remember Hope and Change for sure. Inspirational figure. You know, one of the greatest candidates in our nation's history. Whether you love him or hate him, I love him. But you know, but people also forget. Barack Obama ran more ads in the general election in 2008 about cutting middle class taxes than any other issue. Because it was the one thing government, you may remember in that era. I mean, we were kind of going through an affordability crisis at that point. You know, insurance costs had got high, healthcare costs were out of control, the housing market was starting to crash, there were all these issues here. So what's the one thing the government can do to actually put more money in people's pockets? They can lower their taxes. And so, he ran on cutting middle class taxes. He passed the largest middle class tax cut plan in American history, still to this day. And then when he ran for reelection, he said, I cut your taxes. And for me, like in this One Big Beautiful Bill thing, I would have loved it if we had just said, all right, like they want to give $4 billion to people that don't need $4 billion. We're going to give $4 billion back to you, whether lowering marginal rates or giving people $1,000 a year to cover the health insurance costs or whatever. Like, do something that makes it a choice. And I think that, you probably saw in the poll, I mean, the people's views of Washington is, I mean, they could not be any lower. I think Washington politicians had a 9% approval rating in our poll. And so there's already an inherent distrust of it. And, you know, and then they kind of frankly just hear more of the same from us. And when I think we really had an opportunity, and I think the 2028 candidates have a real opportunity, because I do think that when they, I do think some of the stuff that Trump put in that bill is not going to be unpopular. And so I think we can't necessarily run just on repealing it. There's stuff in there, whether it's the tax cuts for, you know, the, for people on tips or the, you know, I'm looking at buying a new car. I'm going to go look at an American car, you know, cause if I, you know, if I buy a new car and I can write off my interest, like I'm going to do that. You know, I think it's going to be more than just being opposed to it. I think we have to offer a package of things that will meaningfully improve the people's lives. And then when we get in power, we have to actually do those things.
Yeah, I think that that is true. Well, I usually end by asking what listeners can do. And I'll do that again. I think I can do it this way because one problem that we also have in understanding the electorate better is that technology has made it harder to do really accurate polling. And that's why I appreciate your work of actually going and meeting voters where they are and speaking to them with an open mind and without preconceptions. But people don't always get polled. I don't think I have been polled since the first Obama campaign. People don't always know. Yes, they know how to call their lawmakers once they're elected, but they don't know how to make their views known to candidates before they're elected. So what can people do to get a better voice so that people can run campaigns that are reflective of the people? Because this isn't just about Republican versus Democrats. The people in power in Washington right now represent a minority of views in our nation. Mm-hmm. This is about getting an actual representative government full of people who have to understand the views of their constituents and respond to them and debate real issues in a real way, as opposed to just using sound bites and gimmicks to gain an unfair advantage and control over the government. So what can people do to say, listen to me, hear me, and this is what we want?
Well, and I think part of the problem in Washington, as I answer your question here, is, you know, this whole redistricting discussion we're having right now in the country, you know, part of why Washington is so unreflective is what 400 out of 435 members are elected in primaries. And, you know, they're responsive to constituents on the extremes of the left or the right. And I think that's why a lot of voters are like, hey, what about me? I mean,
that's,
you know,
right.
It is cliche to say it, but I believe it to be true. The one thing every politician is afraid of is losing. And, you know, and so, A, when they're asking for your vote, you know, speak up because they want your vote. They want to get to 50%. They want to build that broader coalition. Use a voice. Use your voice constructively when they're in office. You know, reach out to them in ways that is meaningful and in places that they'll hear you. Like, and, you know, and in organizing, having conversations. I mean, the one thing, that I think Barack Obama preached to us as staff is, and this comes from his days as a community organizer in churches on the south side of Chicago, is that real conversations between people, talking to your friends, talking to your coworkers, having an open mind, understanding that it's okay to disagree on plenty of things if you can get to yes on something. I think that's really where we have to get as a country is, you know, as long as we just get in our corners and scream at each other, I mean, the voters that, frankly, I think my party needs to win are just going to be like, I don't know what to do here. You know, I think the magic of kind of what happened with Obama and probably even frankly happened with Trump in 2016 was people having those sort of intimate conversations with their circle of friends, including people they don't agree with, and trying to build that consensus. You know, the number one role job of any of us is being citizen, and you can't give up out of frustration. That's the one thing that's most important. You gotta stick with it.
All right. Well, I highly suggest to our listeners that you check out Steve's Substack called Man of Florida. He is not going to be found, you know, trying to battle an alligator or do other things that Florida men tend to do. He is out here trying to do the good work to make our government more reflective to the needs of the people. So Steve, I really appreciate this insight. It's really, really insightful and interesting and not stuff that you see if you just read the Washington Post or watch MSNBC. It's really interesting and important stuff to make us understand our government better and be better participants in our democracy. So thank you for your work, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Just for your listeners, I've been a super fan of Kimberly for going on 20 years, and it's been Kimberly. It's been wonderful to watch your career and watch you grow and watch you get into your voice. And I'm just I'm proud to have known you for this long. And again, I wish you nothing but success going forward.
Thank you, my friend. Same to you. I really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for listening to Justice by Design. You know what to do. Follow, like, give 5 stars, tell your friends. You know all the things. Please do that because it helps this little podcast grow. And I will be back next week with another episode of Justice by Design. I'm Kim Atkins-Store. You take care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.